This is a marketing communication. Please refer to the Key Information Document, or KID, before making any final investment decisions. Investing involves risk. The value of an investment and the income from it may fall as well as rise, and investors might not get back the full amount invested. Past performance does not predict future returns. The mention of any particular security or strategy should not be considered as a recommendation. For further information on the Merchants Trust, please go to www.merchantstrust.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to this latest edition of A Value View from the Merchants Trust. In each podcast, Simon Gergel, fund manager at the Merchants Trust, offers his thoughts on developments affecting the UK market and what it means for investors. Simon, welcome. It's good to see you again for this first edition of A Value View in 2023.
Hi, John. It's great to be here again.
Well, we've got lots to talk about. A fascinating year that's just gone, and no doubt another very interesting year to come. 2023 promises to be an interesting year for all sorts of reasons. And if it's anything like the previous year, we're in for quite a ride. The outlook for the coming few months is anything but clear, with economic and political uncertainty continuing to grip both UK and global markets. So from where you see it at the Merchants Trust, how do you anticipate things playing out over the first quarter and maybe into the rest of the year as well?
Well, it's a great question. As always, the place to start is that the economy is very different to the stock market. The stock market looks a long way ahead, and the economic outlook undoubtedly is very challenging. We're in a difficult situation. We've got high inflation, we've got interest rates rising, a lot of squeeze on consumers, squeeze on company profitability. There's a lot of factors to be nervous about. Having said that, the stock market is well aware of that. Investors have, you know, sold off shares. In general, the stock markets were quite weak last year, although the UK was interestingly one of the better places. But a lot of bad news is priced in. And perhaps, and I'm not talking on a three-month view, we always look 2 to 3 years ahead. But it feels like we are past peak fear for investors. If you think about what's been going on, the issues like the energy price, the oil price, the gas price, they peaked a long time ago. Certainly the oil price peaked nearly a year ago, and the impact on inflation is now rolling over. Other commodity costs, the cost of freight, the cost of other commodities is coming down, and that will soon feed into a lower inflation rate. In fact, we're already starting to see inflation coming off the top. And that means although interest rates are going up, the fears that interest rates are going to keep going up faster than expected and to a higher level than expected are probably past. And I think the worst in the UK was around about when we had the change of government, when Liz Truss was prime minister for a very brief period. We had high interest rates and real concern about where mortgage rates might go because of that inflation. To some extent, we're past the worst of that. So we are potentially in an environment where investors can see the light at the end of the tunnel, that yes, conditions are very difficult, but they're getting less worse perhaps than we thought. And that is already starting to be seen in a better environment in the stock market. Some of the more cyclical areas, which were quite depressed, are starting to recover. And the other thing about markets is the UK stock market's really lowly priced compared to history. And within that, there's a huge dispersion. So there are many very strong companies trading at unusually attractive valuations. And that's exciting as an investor. There's plenty of opportunities. And we've talked about this before, but there's plenty of opportunities to buy really strong businesses at what are historically unusually attractive levels. And that makes me excited. It makes me want to come in the morning and find new companies to invest in, that there's lots of opportunities in the market. So it's hard to call the economy. The economy is going to be difficult, but the stock market offers great opportunities on a long-term basis to buy companies with a good dividend and good prospects for capital return.
And let me just push you a little bit more on that. As you look ahead then, would you say more optimistic or pessimistic about the way things are going, about the way the markets are headed and the way that you need to think about engaging with the markets?
I am more optimistic as an investor that we can buy companies that can offer good returns on a 3 to 5 year view. And one way of talking about that is that if you look at what we've done in the Merchants Trust, the board actually increased the gearing modestly in November. And by gearing, I mean that the Merchants Trust borrows money And the objective of that is to try and earn a higher return, albeit there's a higher risk associated. So we drew down, we have this gearing facility. We drew down the remaining facility that we hadn't been using for a couple of years and took gearing back up to about 15%. And that's a sign of confidence in the long term that we think we can make a better return, or shareholders can make a better return on investments than the cost of debt, which is around just under 4%. And therefore, yes, I think although things feel pretty difficult and perhaps even bleak in terms of the economic outlook, that's often when the best investment opportunities are there. And we find lots of opportunities at the moment. So yeah, I'm more definitely in the optimistic camp as an investor.
And amid all of this, how do you see the outlook for dividends?
Well, it's again, another good question. I mean, Merchants Trust has a big focus on high earning, high income shares. We've raised our dividend for 40 years consecutively, and it's a big focus of the board. What we've seen with dividends is we saw a whole raft of dividend cuts and cancellations and postponements during the pandemic, partly because of the uncertain outlook, and partly actually in the case of banks, for example, they were told not to pay dividends and many companies were very cautious. We didn't know what was going to happen, really. We've seen that now go back, and we've seen companies revert to paying much more normal dividends. We've seen a very strong recovery in dividends. Going forward, clearly we're entering another difficult economic environment. There are one or two companies with profit warnings. There are one or two cutting dividends. But I don't think we're going to see the wholesale cuts of dividends we saw previously. If you look at the big industries, the big income-paying sectors, sectors like energy, we've seen a strong recovery in commodity prices, a strong recovery in their cash flows, and that doesn't really feel very threatened for the next 12, 18 months. The banking industry has completely repositioned itself over the last, since the financial crisis, really, not just the pandemic, over 15 years. Banks are now much more tightly regulated. They've got much more capital, much stronger balance sheets, and they're starting to generate lots of cash, which is no longer being used to rebuild their balance sheets. And so banks as a sector are starting to pay good dividends again. And that's true, actually, in many other sectors. Companies have got strong balance sheets and income is flowing again. So in general, we're seeing a much more diversified income stream, both in the market and also in our portfolio. And also more resilient income stream. So there will be individual situations where dividends are cut, but I think in general we're still quite optimistic about the outlook for income.
And you mentioned just at the beginning, and you reminded us that the UK markets have relatively performed pretty well over the last year. Why do you think that is? And do you think that they can maintain that trajectory?
Yes, I think there's a couple of reasons. One is the UK valuations have been very low. Even a year ago, UK, really since the Brexit.
It's cheap. The UK's cheap.
And since the Brexit referendum, it's been getting cheaper and cheaper versus the rest of the world. And I think that's been noticed. The second thing is the UK is actually a very global market. So the UK equities, although they're listed, companies listed in the UK, they're global businesses. And there are plenty of companies in the UK that are big US companies or big Asian companies. But the third thing is the composition of the market in the UK is quite different. We've got a lot more exposure to commodity areas, energy companies, mining companies, financial companies, financial services companies, banks and so on, and less exposure to some of the really high growth, high technology areas where the biggest pressure in the markets has come. You've seen a big derating of high growth, high tech areas in the last 12 months. And as I say, the UK has got less exposure to that and more of what you might call traditional high profitability, cash generating industries. And that's been give a lot of resilience to the UK in the last 12 months.
It's interesting you should mention that, because I wanted to get onto that issue around growth stocks, so-called growth stocks. We've seen them soar over the past decade, but the economic impact of the past 12 months has brought something of a correction there. You mentioned it yourself, you know, the effect on tech stocks in particular, less of an impact here in the UK in terms of those stocks, but nevertheless felt. How is all of this shaping your approach to value investing?
Yeah, well, it's a really important point here is that we are not anti-growth. I mean, value investing is not the opposite of growth investing. We always like companies that can grow, companies with strong financial performance, high returns, but we want to pay a sensible price for those. What you saw for much of the last decade was money was effectively free. Interest rates were virtually zero, or in some cases negative. and companies could raise lots of money to invest in all sorts of projects. They didn't necessarily have to make a return. I think now that money has a cost again and interest rates have gone up, I don't think interest rates are going to go back to zero again in the short term. I think central banks have learned a lesson that there are consequences of having interest rates at virtually zero or negative, that you cause other problems in society. So the cost of money's gone up. Companies have to make a return again. You're seeing actually companies focusing on profitability and focusing on making returns. And that's quite good for us because we've always focused on companies that can make money and how much you're paying for that stream of earnings, and in particular, the stream of cash flows. And there are still great opportunities to buy companies with strong streams of cash flows where you can pay a low price for that earnings stream. So I don't really like the growth value categorization. I think it's a bit too black and white.
So there are good growth stocks out there, what you might label a growth stock, that where there's value to be had.
Absolutely. Many of the companies we own have good growth prospects, but you're paying a sensible price for them. So that's the best of both worlds if you can buy companies with high growth at a sensible price. I think the more speculative growth areas might struggle still. And I think investors are going to start looking much more closely at the valuation of companies, which is should be good for our type of portfolio. But we performed quite well even in the environment where high growth companies were on high ratings, because there are still opportunities even in that environment.
And just a final question to you, Simon, where do you see the current best opportunities then for value investors?
I would say there's two very different types of situation that we find interesting. The first is the areas that have already performed well, such as energy, oil and gas, such as banking, where I would say there's a bit of an assumption in the market. They've had their run in the sun, they've had their period in the sun, and that you need to move elsewhere. But actually, if you look at the valuations of energy companies, you look at the fundamentals drivers, in particular, the lack of new supply coming on stream, and the very strong demand we're going to have for energy for many years, they look underpinned. Similar in banking, we are seeing a completely restructured industry, one which is now making good returns again. Higher interest rates is helping that, but also stronger balance sheets. So those industries, I think, still look good value and continue to perform. They probably won't give the stellar returns we've seen in the last year or two, but they look solid. The other area that's, I suppose, quite different is the cyclical areas, housing, house building, consumer areas. Many of those sectors are down in the dumps in terms of share prices, very depressed. Yes, the outlook might be challenging, maybe not as challenging as we thought potentially a few months ago, but still quite difficult. But valuations are really low in general. There's some strong companies with fantastically strong balance sheets, lots of cash or little debt. Businesses that on a 3 to 5 year view will prove to have a recovery in profits if they do have a dip in the next 12 to 18 months, and where you're not paying much for that future stream of cash flow and profits. So I think that's the other area we find a lot of value is in retail, consumer, housing related, where investors have generally shunned those areas. So those two combinations, the energy and banks, those type of more traditional areas, but also some of those cyclical areas.
And I guess, of course, the UK is well represented. The markets here are well represented in those sectors.
Oh, absolutely. There's plenty of opportunities in both of those areas, yeah.
Okay. Well, Simon, look, it's been great to speak to you again for this first edition of A Value View 2023, but unfortunately we're out of time now. So thank you very much indeed. And thank you for listening to A Value View from the Merchants Trust. You can find out more about the Merchants Trust and read and watch Simon's latest investor notes by going to merchantstrust.co.uk. Thanks for listening. And until next time, from all of us at the Merchants Trust, it's goodbye.